Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back. We've got a caller, and we're going to take a call here. We've got our guest here is Rory Calhoun. And if you're just tuning in at the top of the hour, you are listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. Our number here is 888-850-1872. Don't call just yet because we've got it tied up. What I'm going to do is we're going to talk about this issue. I found somebody who took a case where he was being challenged with a criminal action against him, saying that he, because he didn't have a driver's license, why he didn't have a driver's license, another story. It's a involved story, which may include that he ought not to have one, or maybe he should have one. That's a whole different discussion. It may come up, but we don't know. We'll see. The point is here is when a soldier, for instance, gives an oath, he says, I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. He said the Constitution. He said the Constitution. I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulation in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. In the Old Testament, it says don't make an oath. And the reason it says don't make an oath, because, not because it's wrong to make an oath, it's because it says, goes on to say, if you do, you're stuck. You have to perform it. It's not just because you're not getting paid doesn't mean you don't have to carry it out. So I challenge Rory Calhoun about what's his perspective about this balance when you see a biblical challenge to obey the ordinances of men because they're ministers of God for our good. And well, his answer was beautiful. I thought it was. He said, well, I'm here to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. He didn't say this, but it implied, because of his military background, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So he's bound by an oath. Wow, is that profound. So I've got a caller here who's got some experience here. So what's your question or comment to Rory Calhoun?
Yeah, I don't often agree with anybody, but I agree with him 100%. I had an occasion, too, in the late 70s, when I was trying to understand jurisdiction and what puts us under the authority of anybody, to get rid of my driver's license, my registration. I junked my car, got rid of any evidence of it being a government entity, junk title, and drove it to get arrested. And that happened. I got pulled over, didn't have a driver's license, didn't have insurance, didn't have anything, and went to court. And oddly enough, everything was dropped except driving without a registration. When it got to the appellate court, and we went to actually the court of common pleas, I received something in the mail, and it said non-pros. I didn't even know what it was.
They weren't going to prosecute.
They refused to prosecute me because my argument was based on common law. And here's what the issue is in America, because your guest is absolutely correct. We put ourselves under these jurisdictions by taking on the licenses, the privileges, things that are over and above what the common law dictates. A license is permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. It's implied consent that puts us under statutory jurisdiction. However, and also the state will use the police powers to enforce what they believe they have in the interstate commerce clauses and so on and so forth. So basically, this genie is way out of the bottle. However, in this day and age, where most people have car insurance with threat of going to jail, they have driver's license, restaurant, so on and so forth, it is near impossible to win that battle, especially since you're going through many jurisdictions. And they understand that we have to work at least 8 hours a day, and they get paid at least 8 hours a day to prosecute and persecute us. So it's near impossible to win this battle. And David, if I were to drive around all day without a license plate on, I'd be going through multiple jurisdictions. There's not enough time in the day to fight this one particular battle. And then what I take issue with is how do you, even though you're constitutionally correct, how do you address it? Where's your redress?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rory. I mean, in your situation, we don't know your status with plates and all that kind of stuff. You gave us one example when you were pulled over. I was recently pulled over for a certain situation, and it's an ongoing issue, a little bit different from yours. How are you dealing with this on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think the local police department knows me by now and knows my vehicle that I drive. And what I wanted to point out is, you know, that what you should remember is that what makes it illegal and not a violation of the common law rights of travel is that they knowingly volunteer by contract to waive that their rights. And if they were forced, coerced, or unknowingly placed upon their state powers, the courts have said that this is a clear violation of their rights. This in itself should raise a very interesting question. What percentage of the people in each state that have applied for and received license registrations and obtained insurance after erroneously being advised by their government that it was mandatory? Now, they don't have that when you go apply for your driver's license. They don't say, hey, you don't need a license unless you're doing commerce on the highway. No, they're not going to tell you the truth, and they're not going to give you full disclosure. And that's one of the things that I think about as far as me running for office of the House of Representatives. I'm going to make it mandatory, or I'm going to try as the House of Representatives to make it mandatory that they disclose all information, and that they also, I'm trying to make it a law that, hey, you know, if fraud is equated with, silence is equated with fraud, where there is a moral duty to speak and you don't, that is equated with fraud. I deal with it on a day-to-day basis. This is how I do it. You know, I drive until somebody pulls me over, and when they pull me over, two things are going to happen. Either I'm going to jail, I'm going to bond out, and then I'll have my day in court, or second, they'll write me a ticket and I'll have my day in court. And when I go to court, I do the same thing. I file my interrogatories. I always ask for a jury trial because under the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution, it says I have a right to a trial by jury. These smaller courts, like these magistrate courts and these night courts, they don't have the means to handle a jury trial, so they have to push it up to the circuit courts, in which I've done that. Went to a night court, and I've asked for a jury trial, and they moved it to a different city, and they moved it to a circuit where I could have a jury trial, but it's never made it that far as my filings. They think it's too much of a headache to answer all my questions and to jump through these hoops, so to speak. And so I think after the third time, I think it's considered harassment, and I've not made it to my third time yet. But, you know, I have a right to travel, and I'm not scared to travel. The Constitution says I have a right to travel, and I'm going to continue to do it. As far as my license plates goes, I've not renewed them, and I've got the same tags that was issued when I bought the brand new vehicle.
Hey, I'm going to challenge both of you guys.
All right.
You wise guys, this is common law. The writings of Sir William Blackstone, his commentaries on the laws of England, published 1766, 10 years before the Declaration of Independence. Most states, I know Florida, I'm not sure about Missouri, but they probably have those rights that are retained, all those things that aren't enumerated in your state constitution are retained. You have the rights retained in the U.S. Bill of Rights. Those rights retained, I always say, well, where do you get those? So I've been doing things like reading Sir William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. He talked about revealed law. And he was talking about the understandings of the common law, which are derived from natural law, which is just what makes sense to you. And as long as it doesn't violate the revealed law, the word of God, your things that you come up about with natural law, then they're consistent with the revealed law. You're good to go. And that's a common law. Now, the common law, as you guys would agree, you can't really take anything to action in a court unless somebody's damaged. They have to have showed damage, and then, you know, they ask for certain remedies like restitution. If they don't ask for a remedy, you can't even go to court. So you have to have damage in a seeking of remedy, and I think you guys will buy that one. Now, that's common law. In the commentaries of Sir William Blackstone, he said that there is, in the common law and the structure of the law, it's kind of a parallel common law and civil law structure we have, that positive law that the legislature puts together are those things that God is indifferent to, like speed limits. So that says that, is God indifferent to driver's licensure policing? I mean, isn't that what it comes down to? Is there not, even in the law that we've inherited from England, isn't there a provision there for a legitimate exercise of police power to actually have some kind of... Now, you say that in the federal law, they can deal with things on the basis of commerce. I just know in Virginia that the law is divided in both private use of automobile and commercial. So again, I'm being the advocate for evaluating this stuff with substance under the writings of Sir William Blackstone. I would think that it hints that there is a legitimate provision for the government to institute a licensure or permit kind of program. So what do you say, Rory Calhoun? Then I'll give that to our caller.
What's that?
He said, I don't want to ask. Did you understand? So my question, I gave a lot of comments, a lot of directives there.
But, okay, common law, and from my interpretation, you know, common law is right. Unless I transgress on someone else's rights, yeah, I should have a right to do whatever I want to do. And that's the way I think it should be. Of course, in my Missouri Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, it says we're under the common law. So unless I transgress on someone else's rights, i.e. I take my my automobile and run somebody off the road, or I T-bone them or something like that, I have a right to travel up and down the road, so as long as I don't infringe upon anybody else's rights.
Now, that's if there were no public, positive law. Now, I will say in Florida, our caller's from Florida. I've seen in the Florida Constitution, it says that the common law is still in effect in Florida unless it's been superseded or there's some action by the legislature. So even in the old days in England, if they saw a problem, in fact, Sir William Blackstone said that they're there not to come up with these neat ideas, but to basically to avoid and avert every dangerous innovation. So they really should go there thinking of whatever, of not passing laws. They should go in there with the mindset of either repealing laws or making sure nobody else passes a law. That's really what they should go to, considering the comments by Sir William Blackstone. But he asserted that there are times it is legitimate in your state, if you have a provision for the civil law to trump the common law, then you're kind of stuck with that. What do you think, caller?
No. Lawyers are taught fallacy regarding the law. Law is statute supersedes common law, but statute cannot supersede a common law right. There's a difference. Common law rights, customs and usages, which are codified in a sense by court decisions, cannot be superseded by any government whatsoever, because those natural rights come from God.
Wow.
The statute, the common law can be, let me give you an example, marriage. In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, common law marriage was if a man and a woman lived together and she took on his name and they held themselves out to the community as being man and wife, that could be brought to a jurist and he or she could rule they are common law married. Now,
okay.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has now attempted to supersede that by statute. Now, they can statutorily say there's a civil law joining of these two parties by contract, but they cannot eliminate what common law marriage is, and that's what common law marriage is, because marriage comes from biblical doctrine, doesn't come from the state. And the same thing with driving means to go from point A to point B for inter or interstate commerce. Traveling goes back to the Magna Carta and beyond, and the courts have recognized, especially the Pennsylvania courts back in the early 1900s, that you had just as much right to travel on a public roadway as you have to, what do they say? Ride your horse.
Right.
Where do these decisions come in? Because individuals that were riding horses wanted to get these newfangled machines that were breaking down all over the place and polluting the air. They wanted them away from their horses, away from the roads. You know what the court said? No. These new vehicles are allowed to be on those public thoroughfares because an individual has a right to travel
and use his property in the ordinary course of life and business. So really, both of you would probably agree that it's an idea that under the common law, you shouldn't be licensed. In other words, shouldn't be unlawful to use an automobile per se. Of course, they could regulate the use of that public highway as far as speed limits then. Would you agree with that, Rory?
Yes.
Okay.
I would disagree.
Okay.
No, I would disagree. Well, I would disagree.
You know what it comes down to then, guys? Between the three of us, there's certain things I would agree with you on. And because I'm doing a radio show and I got to make sure that I stick with this basis, the way of approaching things this way on the air, that it really does in some cases come down to a political question where Rory's out there. He's actually running for office.
David, let me tell you this. If you have a driver's license, registration, insurance, and your car's title, then you are bound by that speed limit because you agreed to it. But if I don't, I'm not, because I haven't created a damage.
Well, you're right. And then under the common law, if you were a nuisance going by at 90 miles an hour when everybody else is going 40, 55 and having to change their behavior because of your crazy behavior, then they could take you on a common law charge of the nuisance. And you're right. The common law would still function beautifully. So,
bingo.
Yeah, I agree with that. So
bingo.
We got to take a break here. Folks, you're listening to the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. The number here is 888-850-1872. Check us out online at faithfreedoms.org. Let's see how fast I can talk without messing up.